welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
There's a believer in here. How did that happen? Oh, we're all a bit rearranged, as you can see. We've got a slight new addition at the back of the room. Apparently the wall's falling down because it's all got wet. So if you hear a big crash, you know what it is. Hallelujah. Don't worry, the ceiling's not falling down yet, but if it does, we'll all meet in glory.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. God's good.
Yes,
amen. Nigel was saying to me that I should preach from up there. Be a bit like a Methodist church, you know. I could go up there and tower all over you. I was saying to him, yeah, because I'm so much nearer to God than you lot. And I was saying my book on humility is being released soon, you know. This is how I'm lifted up above you. In fact, I'm going to bring out the special edition with 42 coloured illustrations of me in very humble positions. I thought you'd like that one. You can get hold of it very soon. Waterstones, I believe, are going to stock it. Followed up by the follow-up book, which is called The 10 Most Humble Men on the Earth and How I Trained 9 of Them. Some of you, it's your first time here. Welcome. You're probably wishing you weren't here after that. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but the Lord brought us a word last week that's just made me, well, keep staring at the Lord. I don't know about you. And not daring to drop back in enthusiasm. You know, with that, it was the whole banging of the arrows on the floor. And the king only saw a partial fulfillment of the prophecy, basically because of his lack of enthusiasm. And, you know, and the prophet had brought the word of the Lord, and he didn't see the fulfillment because of what he did. Even though what he did was almost good enough. I don't want to be almost good enough. Anybody want to be good enough? Anybody want to be beyond good? Anybody here in Christ? Anybody going all the way? Anybody got the victory? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's still so much more you can receive from him this morning. Hallelujah. I got up this morning and said, God help, God help, God help. I haven't got anything. Hallelujah. There are some weeks like that and you think, I haven't got anything from you, Lord. I need something. Hallelujah. And the Lord just said, well, worship me and see what happens. It basically felt like. And I just got before the Lord and he's just given me a few scriptures. Actually, my notebook's open, but that's got a joke on it, which I don't want to tell anymore. Having given you a full dose of the humble one. So we've just got the word here and I've got a couple of scriptures and we'll see what happens, shall we? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go to the book of John right at the very beginning. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you awake this morning?
Yes.
Yeah? You better be after all that loud music. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right, John. Right at the beginning, as she says, in the beginning. Hi, Phil. That's all right. We won't draw attention to you because we wouldn't want that to happen. It's quite strange. I keep walking in front of that light, but never mind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Did you manage to hear that? I read that rather fast, didn't I? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
Does that include Scarborough?
Yes.
Does that include Beverly?
Yes.
Does that include Driffield?
Yes.
Does that include Langtoft?
Yes.
Does that include Foxholes?
Yes.
Does that include York?
Yes.
You're getting weaker. You sure it includes York?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Does it include Sheffield? Because Sheffield's still in Yorkshire.
Yes.
And we're Kingdom Faith Yorkshire.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But, well, does it will include London?
Yes.
We're just extending Yorkshire a bit. Hallelujah. Leeds.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Manchester.
Yes.
Well, there's an awful lot more cities out there, but does it include them?
Yes.
But does it include your neighbour?
Yes.
Does it include your family?
Yes.
So that all might believe.
Yes.
And one thing that God is doing in this time is an explosion of people who are exposed to the Word of God and believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
How many of you have had a week where you had an opportunity just to talk to somebody in some way about the Lord, about church, about heaven? Put your hand up. Come on. Hallelujah. Look around the room. Come on, be encouraged. This is what's happening. Now, from this seed sown, people are going to get saved. Yes. Amen. God gave me a great opportunity with our neighbors last week. They've been feeding our fish while we'd been away. And I just went round and I took a bottle of wine round and I was there over 2 hours.
Amen.
I was invited into their home. We didn't drink all the bottle of wine. In fact, we didn't start it. But it was just so good to get to know them, you know. And you just look for these opportunities, don't you? And obviously, they know all about church. In fact, at one point, I was dashing down, obviously, to Sussex at a very short moment to be with my dad because he obviously got a lot worse, which I think most of you know now. And as I dashed down there, it was like, well, what do I do here? Am I going to be back at the weekend? So I went round to my neighbours, who I've just got to know, and said, would you mind having the keys to our house? And could you feed the fish again? And this is the keys to our garage and the trailer, which they use for church. Can you give it to whoever turns up, please? And they were actually really delighted to be helping out. And I'm going to go back down again this week. So I said to my dad, I'm just popping home for church. Hallelujah. But him and my mom and us, well, we're still waiting for victory. Yeah. There's always victory in Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
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 The hospital are just saying, you know, he's just got a couple of weeks or so, but we'll cling to the victory in Jesus. Amen. If you want to pray with the word that God has given us, okay, we're praying according to Hezekiah, where the Lord said to him, I will heal you, and I'm going to give you 15 years. Amen. So pray along that. If you're a believer, pray with us on that one. Amen. And we'll see a breakthrough. But we're praying for his healing because he's in a lot of distress. Amen. God's good, though.
Yes.
God's very good, though. Hallelujah. I won't go into all the miracles we saw last week in helping him and sorting things out. We went right into the battlefield. The enemy was there big time, trying to stop things happening, and it was horrendous, but God saw us right through, and we had the victory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In other words, Jesus was there in the beginning. He'll be at the end. He's the beginning and the end, and he's here now. But he's here in you now. He's even in Donna. He's even in me. I mean, me and Lorraine. He's in Lorraine. And he's in David. And he's in Anne. He's in us all. No matter what we feel, whether we're he's in me or he's in me, he's in us. So the matter of the fact is, Jesus is therefore in York, Leeds, Beverly, Driffield, Scarborough, Yorkshire, and all the places. The Lord is there. Why did he come? It says here, John was here announcing the coming of Jesus. Why did Jesus come? To show them the word. Why are we here now? To show the people around us the word of God. By the way we live, by the way we are, by the way we pray, by the way we do life together, we're demonstrating to people that the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Because sometimes you haven't got an opportunity to get your Bible verse out. Sometimes you've just got to be Jesus. Sometimes you've just got to be the Word. What does the Word say? Love one another, care for one another, be the light in the world. Everything that you know that's in the Word, Jesus is just calling us to be. Amen? And you know, some of us haven't known one another very long. You know, God is causing this church to grow, and praise God, new people are coming, and you know, there's a mixture of different people here and visitors here, but still we're one body if we're in Christ. And it's that one body and the love we have for one for another that will demonstrate to the world that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
The miracles that we've been seeing, the miracles that we've seen happen where we've seen people healed, they are a plus, believe it or not. Jesus said the main thing is the love you have one for another. But then when we have love one for another, with what God is doing amongst us, when you're in your neighbor's house and they say, this is happening, you can say, well, let's pray about that. Amen? And you get in there. Amen? And then God just does it. We've just begun to realize that God just does it. It's not so hard to believe. It's actually believe. Just believe. And even when you feel like nothing's going to happen, Jesus still answers prayer. And we're not going back there again because we've done that a lot. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's as we are now in the world. Full of grace and truth. Just turn to your neighbour and say, I'm full of grace. There might be some husbands and wives that need to say that. Full of grace and truth. I wasn't particularly looking in your direction, but if you've upset Anne. Praise God. Let's turn over the... Well, I'm turning over the page. You might not need to. Verse 29. The next day the Lord saw... Sorry, no, he didn't. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." The reason that you live is that Jesus might be revealed to England or wherever you come from. The reason you've been saved is that people might see Jesus. And they do. It's not like you've got to get to some great standard. You're there. Because Jesus has placed you in that place. You're seated in heavenly places.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So seek the Lord. Don't be surprised, you know you're seated in heavenly places. You've got that position. Don't be surprised if when you're praying, you begin to see in your mind's eye, if you like, not your imagination, but you just, it sort of starts there sometimes, if you begin to see what the heavenly places are like. You ever thought about that? If you're there, how about seeing it? I'm just saying this because this is what the Lord is saying to me is happening at this time. Some of you, like Dr. Fraser over there, Nigel, he's just had some, as you know, he's shared some of them. He just seems to get these incredible visions these days. Hallelujah. But I believe the Lord wants to, that's for all of us. He's just learned that that's there for him. The Bible doesn't say that stopped. Does it?
No.
What would, are there stuff in here that only happened? I mean, it's like healing and stuff like that, and prophecy and all those kind of things. People used to say, well, that stopped. It only stopped because people stopped believing. You can be caught up in the third heaven. You can see the glory. You can see the angels around the throne. You can see the 24 elders. Because your spirit is there, seated in heavenly places. It's not just a theory. It's a practice. Amen?
Amen.
So John came and he was revealing. He said, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. And it's time to tell our friends, well, this is what's happening in me. This is what you see in my family. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus. And you know what? You're also going to be surprised. We had lots of hands up. But as you do this, you're going to see more and more people affected. And you're going to get more and more opportunities. Who wants to see people in this, people in, let's start with Scarborough, because that's the beachhead God has given us. Who wants to see people in Scarborough healed? Then pray for them. And I don't just mean in your closet, Lord, heal Scarborough. I mean actually literally standing in front of living flesh. Pray for them. It's the only way you see people healed. Amen? Hallelujah. This is a great town. Scarborough's a great town. I want more amens. This is a great town.
Yes, amen.
Even if you don't live in Scarborough, Scarborough is a great town. I tell you why it's a great town, because the Lord is here and revival is breaking out here.
Yes,
amen. People, who would want to miss that?
Yes.
This is the place to live in the world.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. The thing is, I believe that. I'm laughing, but I do. I'm so excited I'm here. You know? Why am I back for a weekend? Why did I pop home 320 miles? Because I want to be here. It's the Lord's moving here. I don't want to miss it. I'm going to miss next weekend for definite. I wasn't going to miss two weekends.
Yeah.
It's a long drive, but I want to be here. Hallelujah. Why didn't we go away in August? Anyway, because we wanted to be here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Who wants to be here?
Yes.
Who wants to be part of the move of God that's happening? And the move of God where you come from as well, but we've got one happening here, so we're going to love that one.
Yeah,
hallelujah. You're going to reveal Jesus. Is this making sense? Because as I said, I didn't really have anything from the Lord, so it might be a bit of a waffle. I think the Lord's speaking, actually, don't you, Eileen? Hey, amen. I love this, So Jesus, he gets baptized, although that's not in this passage. It's the time that Jesus gets baptized. Anybody here not been baptized yet? You need to get baptized. Well, we haven't really mentioned it before. Eileen, could you just stand up for a minute? Eileen on the spot, bless her. If you haven't yet been baptized and you love God, you love Jesus, you've made him Lord of your life, or you're going to this morning, you need to see Eileen and give her your names, and then come September, we'll get some baptisms organised. Because if there's people in this room that are believers and you're not baptised, it needs to happen. Jesus got baptised! Thanks, Eileen. That was definitely an aside there. Or maybe it wasn't. So, September. In the sea, we'll see. Hallelujah. Yeah, we'll get you to do it. No. Anyway, so Jesus gets baptized. Jesus then starts sort of recruiting his disciples. So you've got Philip and Nathanael and others. And then I like this. Chapter 2 begins on the third day. Okay, so this is the third day of him calling his disciples to himself, and really, after being baptized, the Father has spoken over him that you are my son with whom I'm well pleased, and all that stuff. And then on the third day, you think, right, oh, the third day, this is going to be significant then. This is Jesus. He's waited 30 years to be released into ministry, and this is the Son of God. This is the big one. And it's the third day, okay? He's got some disciples and they're following him along. They're probably thinking, oh, we're following him along. We're going to see some action here. And what happens on the third day? A wedding took place. Yeah. Don't you think that is amazing, though? You know, the Son of God, he's been released into ministry. The third day must be significant because he's going to be raised from the dead on the third day. What does he do? Goes to a wedding. And why does he go? Let's have a look. A wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited. Why did he go to the wedding? Because he got an invitation with Jesus written on it. Jesus, you are welcome to the marriage of Eleanor and Hyacinth. No, that's two girls' names. Forget I said that. Scrub that from the tape. The marriage of Arnold and Hyacinth. You know, two biblical names. There he goes. I mean, I still just... You'd think he'd be one out there raising a few from the dead. And all this time he's been waiting to be released. And he goes to a wedding. You want to witness for Jesus? You want to do things for him? Just go where you're invited. And the opportunity will come. But what a weird opportunity that comes. I mean, people say to me, you know, don't you think some of the things that happen are a bit strange and a bit, you know, can't possibly be of God? You know, when you see the gold dust on people, you think, as I did when I was out in Florida, you sort of think, why? And God says, why not? Yeah, he likes to break us out of our small little religious mindsets. And sometimes when you see God do totally crazy things like that, although it's actually because his glory is present, he just sort of says, hey, I'm still God and you're not. And I know more than you. And you might not understand that because you're not supposed to. You know, we can't understand everything about God. It's a mystery. But anyway, so, and you think gold dust is, you know, can be controversial. How about this? I mean, we know the story, so it's lost some of the controversy, but this is Jesus, new disciples, out with his mum, and you know what mums are like. They look after you at weddings. They say, no, another one, dear, that you've had enough. And Jesus is there with his mother, and actually it's his mother that's getting him into trouble. She said, Jesus' mother says to him, they've no more wine. What's that got to do with the Son of God? They're short a few bottles of bubbly. Let's get the Lord of the universe in on this. Let's get... In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He'll know what to do about a few missing bottles. And Jesus sort of says to her, well, Mother, you know, my time has not yet come. But she's smart. She knows that he's God, and if she asks in faith, he's still got to answer. I don't know how big her revelation was of Jesus at that point, but she certainly understood one thing. You ask and you get. Because she just said, he says, my time has not yet come. My mother, why do you involve me? And what does his mum do? His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. She puts him right on the spot. So, that was the servants to Jesus. Nearby stood six stone water jars, not six bottles. but six stone water jars. They were about this size usually. Okay? Just a small insignificant amount of water happened to be standing there. And he says, I mean, why didn't he just use one? Isn't six a little excessive? Six large stone jars? I'm only saying this because you know what's coming, because you've read the story. The kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. Oh, sorry, they haven't got water in yet. They're filling them now. Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. If Jesus tells you to do something, go to excess. Don't just, oh, yeah, put a bit of water in, because that's like banging the arrows three times on the floor. If Jesus says do it, 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 do it. If Jesus says lay hands on the sick, lay hands on 30. You know? If Jesus says pray for your neighbor, go down the street. If you really want to see the glory, go for the fullness. My cup overflows, it says in Psalm 23. Doesn't that mean God doesn't know when to stop? If your cup is there and you keep it there, it'll just keep flowing. He had a great picture last week, didn't you? Yes, you did. In the worship at the beginning, you remember, it's for some reason it just wasn't there. But and she saw this milk boiling on a stove. Okay? And then she saw the heat taken away and the milk. You know what happens with milk? All the milk was coming up and then it got taken off the heat so it didn't spill over. Highly sensible. Yep. And then I got up and said, come on now. And brought the word about more passion about Jesus sort of stuff from bagging the arrows. And then we went back into worship. Do you remember? And then God came and stuff happened and there was bodies everywhere and all that sort of stuff. But God moved. People got healed. But during that time, if I've got all this right, I hope so, the saucepan was put, she saw the saucepan again, but this time it was put on the heat, and as the milk came up, it wasn't taken off the heat. It just overflowed and overflowed. And not only that, there was more milk being poured in, and it just kept flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. What's the word of the Lord? Stop being sensible. Keep the heat on. Yeah? That's why we get mad in worship. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me, well, I suppose you won't be going back up to Scarva this week because you won't want to sort of be with that, they know what we're like. You won't want to be with that mad lot jumping up and down and shouting, you know, with your dad being so ill. I said, of course I want to be there. That's the very place I want to be. I want to put the heat on. Yeah. I'm going to get the east window open. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's Jesus. He gets the fill the jars with water. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, but the servants that had drawn the water knew. And he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you save the best till last. You want another word from the Lord this morning? Whatever's gone before is before. But for us now, God has saved the best till last. These are the last days of the church on earth. And God has saved the best till last. We're going to see the best. The best. The best. The best. Yeah, we sometimes get excited about what was happening when Jesus was around and not jars being turned into wine. The water in the jars being turned into wine. People getting raised from the dead. And then the first church starts and things are happening and the word's exploding and 3,000 were added to the church one day. And yet God says, I'm saving the best till last. And guess what? These are the last days. What does that mean? We get the best.
Yes.
We get the?
Best.
We get the?
Best.
What?
Best.
Cool. Sorry. Pardon? And then you get this great biblical sentence. This is the first of his miraculous signs that Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. His first miracle was to create six huge jars of wine at a party. And what do people do with wine at a party? Don't you think that was just a little bit of a dodgy miracle? And then they go and put it in the book. Couldn't they have just kept that one quiet? You know, on the third day of his ministry, he goes to a wedding and makes wine. Couldn't he have done something, you know, a little bit more Jesus-like? I tell you, it's going to surprise us in many more ways than that. Hallelujah. Why shouldn't you see water turned into wine? I want to see a lot more than that. Why shouldn't you see all the other things that happen, the gold dust and the feathers and the people falling down and the healings and the resurrections? And why shouldn't you see all of that?
Yes,
these are the last days and it gets better.
Yes.
We've got the best wine to come.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Take a big... Go on, drink down. Go on, drink down. Be almost daft sitting there. Dare you? I'm having it. I'm having the best wine. Get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't get drunk on wine, but get drunk on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's time to stagger around because the glory of the Lord's on us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
These are the last days. Ooh. I might get excited in a minute and then you'll be really in trouble.
Come on.
Right, jump. Acts chapter 2. Now, here's another passage we know. Most of us, I expect, absolutely well. Verse 42. In fact, I've heard Clive preach on this first bit about 3 or 4 times now. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, go home, look through that verse and just say, Lord, what should I be doing that's there in those verses? What should I be doing that's there that I'm not doing? Because I like the bit at the end, added to their number daily. The Lord's adding to our number, what, weekly, I'd say? Maybe 2 weekly, the Lord is adding to our number. But the biblical precedent is daily, and we get the best. So it's time to see people being saved daily. Amen? Daily. So every week we come back. You know, this room is steadily getting too small, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Good.
Steadily it's too small. Well, God has the next place prepared for us. Amen? We think we know which one it is, but you never know. Because God is God of surprises. And just when you think you got him sussed, he says, actually, nah, I've got something better than that. But I don't know. Hallelujah. I was looking at another place beyond that one.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because the Lord is exciting. So what have we got to look at? Well, it says here, teaching, right? So get in with the teaching. You know, I know Clive's preached on this before, but it's very crucial, that first line. They devoted themselves. It's time for the church to give themselves a kick up the bottom and do it themselves. It's not the leader's job or the pastor's job to chase them up, to follow up. Even new believers, we shouldn't really be chasing after, saying, how are you doing? Are you getting on? They devoted themselves. It says they devoted themselves to the teaching. Nobody sort of rung them up 6 times and said, oh, you're coming on Wednesday night. Because you create a dependency for one another that's not actually biblical. I mean, I'm not talking about not loving for one another and caring for one another. And, you know, we've done that and done that and done that. We talk about that a lot. And we're nearly living it. But teaching. Okay, devote yourselves to the teaching. Well, you're pretty good at that, actually, you lot. You do a lot of that. You know why that's why you although you might get a lot out of watching the God Channel, you would actually never get as much as when we're gathered together and one of us brings the word. Even though that teaching might not be as good or as clever or even as anointed, here together God builds us up.
Yes.
And a lot of people get in deception about that. I watch the God Channel. I like the God Channel. You get blessed by the God Channel. But where the Lord will build you up is when we're together.
Yes, amen.
And you devote yourselves to the teaching. That's why coming together is so important. That's what the Word of God says. Let's not give up meeting together. All right? But continue. So we got the teaching, the fellowship. That's why I'm saying, how many of you invited one another around into your homes last week? You know, as well as inviting our neighbours, we've got to be inviting one another. It's the fellowship. And fellowship, you can't get fellowship over a cup of coffee at the end of the service. There's not enough time. You know, one of my favourite times in recent, not last week, because I wasn't here, but one of my favourite times recently was when Jimmy came round my house and told me of his adventures giving out the newspaper. I tell you, I'm still blessed by that. You know, you were apologizing and saying, "Oh, I shouldn't be disturbing." You should flipping well be disturbing me. Scrub that bit from the tape. Hallelujah. What else? The breaking of bread. Okay, but just jump down a little bit because it says they broke bread together in their homes. Because some people say to me, why don't you have it more on Sundays? Because Sunday morning is a place for teaching and worshipping together. And although we can break bread together, it becomes a sort of a formality in a service. It's the bread is to be broken together in your homes. No priest. No special service. Just a meal, break the bread and share the wine. Otherwise it becomes a mystery in a way that it wasn't intended to. I'm not saying it's wrong, and actually I really enjoy Anglican communion. But there's something very valuable in breaking bread together. Where? In our homes. It's all about being together again. And then people are added daily. Wow. And of course prayer. Prayer. Prayer alone, prayer together, whatever. But you know, more than anything, that passage is about that first phrase. It all becomes because they devoted themselves. It's not about reading that and thinking, you know, what have I got to do, really, in some ways. It's about the culture of that church was that they were there one for another. Can I just say something strange? Tell me you look really worried. Don't come to this church. You want to hear that one again? Don't come to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Don't come. Because we are church. Yeah. You can't come. You're it.
Yeah.
You can't moan about the church because you're it.
Yes, that's right.
You can't complain that enough people haven't been to visit you because you're it. You can go and visit them.
Yes, that's right.
You can't complain that it's not spiritual enough because you're it. You're not spiritual enough. No, don't come to Kingdom Faith Church. Don't come. I hope this bit isn't taken out of context. You can just hear. Don't come to Kingdom Faith Church. Be the church.
Yes.
Amen. If, in fact, you could. Maybe that should be the title of this talk, Richard. Don't come to this church. That'll get some people clicking on it, won't it? Probably Pastor Colin. He's lost it. Quick, send up Clive, sort him out. Clive would probably get on a motorbike. If he wiggles like that, he'll probably come off it. Oh dear, don't come to this church, you might laugh too much. No, I've got other stuff there that I was going to do, but I don't want to go on too much. I want to read to you just this little bit from the end. This literally fell open on this morning. I read it a couple of months ago. It was actually a book that Clive was recommending to me. It's a book by Paul Scanlon, you know, the senior pastor at Abundant Life in Bradford. Well, 25 years ago, they had a church of 450 people, and they planted out of that 450 about eight other congregations as well. So on one level, they were pretty successful, but he saw there was a sickness in the church. And in fact, one of the main things he identified was what I touched on earlier, that a wrong kind of dependency on one another. Not living and being interdependent, but depending on one another. They had too many people ringing up others to get them to go to meetings. And, you know, it's still such a waste of time. If you don't want to go to somebody else's house, don't go. You know, but if you've got Jesus in you, and if you're living and you want to spend time with others, we've not got any life groups because I don't want you to have to go to a life group. Because there's nothing worse than that feeling, oh, it's Wednesday night, I should be at my life group. You know, there are open homes, and there are homes you can just go, well, they're all open. And we will have some other homes that of nights that you know are happening midweek that you can just go to. But you know, that early church, they devoted themselves. The apostles didn't write down 3,000 names and divide them into groups. And I'm not going to do it. All 3,000 of you. And you say, well, I might get lost. Well, go and see somebody. Go and see whoever you like. Go and talk to whoever you like. Go and if you want somebody, if you do need somebody to help you pray through, go with somebody you think will help you. Don't go to everybody, or you're right in a right mess, but anyway. Anyway, I just like this. And what they did was they changed the church around, and they come up with a new vision. This isn't our church vision, but I think a lot of it's very similar to what God is doing here. And they have it up in the foyer of the new church, apparently, the new church building, because God told it to build it. They had a 600-seater, and God was saying, build a 2,000 for what I'm going to do now. Obviously, it's even bigger than that these days. It's worldwide known, isn't it? But the point is, they got their focus on Jesus. Let me they had this vision anyway. The church I see, this is sort of a practical application of what we've just been reading. The church I see is God-centered, purpose-driven, and people-empowering. That's pretty cool. God-centered, Jesus first. Anybody agree with that one?
Yeah.
Purpose-driven. You know what God's doing. You know where you're going. You've got the vision, and you want something to happen. You're not just wandering aimlessly around waiting, oh, a blessing. Your purpose. You know what you're going. You know who you're going to talk to. And people empowering. Well, that's why you're praying for the sick. That's why we're all on the streets. Amen? I'd spend ages on this, but I'm not going to. Let's just go through it fairly quickly. The church I see is exciting and full of life.
Yes.
If you agree with any of this, you can give me a big up. Yes.
Yes!
It is a church that is both numerically large and spiritually deep.
Yes.
Right. Kate was obviously in Norfolk for part of last week, and then we met up in Sussex, and Kate stayed down there, by the way, to look after my dad. We haven't got divorced or anything. All right. But she said that she was at this other church, and she met somebody she knew, and they were sort of saying, somebody they knew anyway, was at another church in Edinburgh. And she said to Kate, the church has just grown, and there's a lot of people there now. And Kate said, oh, that's exciting. That's really good, isn't it? And the lady said, oh, no. She said, they don't all know one another now. Where was that ever a requirement in the Bible? That's like saying, that's like the other one, isn't it? The other great, great lie is that you don't need to shout, God's not deaf. That's not in the Bible. Keeping small so that everybody knows one another is not in the Bible. When you get a big church, in fact, you'll know more people. And you'll know them just as well as you knew your small little group. But you've got the opportunity to get to know new ones. And you might not know everybody, but that doesn't matter. It really does not matter. It's surprising, actually, how many you can know. At one time, I don't now, but at one time when I was pastoring before J247 started in Kingdom Faith Horsham, I knew just about everybody in the church. And you'd think, how can you ever know that many? But you do somehow. Anyway. The church I see is non-religious,
yes.
Naturally supernatural,
yes.
Incredibly fun to be in.
Yes.
It is a church of renowned character and integrity.
Yes.
A church whose number one priority is to glorify God and bring his wonderful life to a lost world. Amen? I've got four more for you to agree with, and then we're coming to an end. You guys have to go, then. The church I see is attractive, confident, victorious, and overcoming.
Yes.
It is a church whose powerful proclamation and awesome worship are broadcast to the nations by every modern means possible.
Yes. Come on.
Amen? You say, oh, that's a bit of a way off. We already do it via the internet. Yes. Hallelujah. And anyway, we're part of Kingdom Faith, which is huge. The church I see equips, enables, and releases ordinary people to live extraordinary lives.
Yes.
The best at the end. The best till last. We've got the best.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? Don't come to this church. It's going to be my new catch line. The church I see is deeply committed, loving, caring family amongst the lonely and the broken, where they find new hope and belonging. A bit of a challenge there. I reckon we've got more to go in that one. But we're here for the broken. We're here for the lost. And the last one, well, I'm not going to read it quite the same. The church I see could well be this church, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire.
Amen.
Amen. It is. God's doing great things. It's great to be a part of a body where you can think it's great to be part of this body. But don't come to this church. Hallelujah. You feeling good?
Yes.
Is the Lord building you up?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Lord's not telling me to have any more ministry, so we're not going to. We're not going to anoint people with oil just because we sometimes do. Hallelujah. You come seeking healing and you haven't received what you wanted to receive this morning, let's just come up at the end and we'll pray. Because it's not about having a special atmosphere or a special service. It's just about believing.
Yes, amen.
And believing is not that hard. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. They didn't believe the Lord would save them. But he still stood up and he still stilled the storm and he still saved them. And that word saved means safe, healed, delivered. Sozo in Greek. So if you're there needing to be saved, but you feel like, Lord, it's not going to happen, it doesn't matter. The coming forward and asking for prayer shows you have faith.
Yes, that's right.
And that's all you need.
Yeah.
A small dot. Amen. Amen. There aren't any notices this week on the video thing, because I haven't done them. Hallelujah. That reminds me of the notice, which I saw somewhere that said, do not throw stones at this notice. That's a great notice, isn't it? Or it's like the one Dan and I saw. This is true. Dan and I saw driving that said, what did it say? Secret nuclear bunker. It did! With an arrow. No, top secret nuclear bunker. I remember it now. Hallelujah. You didn't need to know the first notice because it was irrelevant. Except that, of course, Days of Favour, 11th to the 14th of September. First 2 days at Lamplugh, Saturday and Sunday here in the library, and we're going to meet with God. There's going to be a lot of healings over that weekend, particularly the Saturday night if you're wanting to bring people, but at any time, God will release healing. It's not a conference. There's not lots of speaking. It's just going to be a time of soaking in God's presence. Amen. Soaking in God's presence, receiving from him for the revival that's happening. Amen. Well, we're going to give our offering and our tithe and our worship the Lord as we do that. And then bring this bit to an end. Amen. So let's stand up. The worship team bounce to the front.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire. We'll be right back.